and welcome to Pop a la Carte number 39, our final MCU recap.
Woo! We're really excited, guys. Anyway,
this week we are doing the last two that we're going to be doing, which is Spider-Man Homecoming and Thor Ragnarok, because Black Panther wasn't that long ago, and because it's not on Blu-ray yet.
Right, if you want Black Panther, go back like 10.
Yeah, it's not like it was that long ago.
We just did it.
Anyway, I'm Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
And so we'll start with Spider-Man Homecoming, which I have not watched since last summer. I've watched Ragnarok several times, but Spider-Man Homecoming I have not seen. In fact, we had a really fun time figuring out how we were going to watch it because that's the only MCU movie I do not own. Mm. And so, thankfully, Starz had it.
Yeah.
I saw it twice in the theater and that was it.
Yeah, and I saw it once or twice in the theater and that was also it. Yeah, I mean that's normal for me, but yeah. I definitely did not have like the desire to see it
MCU again. Movies I always buy at least tickets to see them twice. Mm-hmm. So but by the time we had seen it the first time we were already kind of regretting the second one, especially because it was like my birthday.
Oh,
that was when we went and saw it. So and I never regretted not seeing it again, and then now watching it I really just kind of feel detached from it.
Yeah.
Like I don't hate it as much. Mm-hmm. I just don't care.
Right. It's definitely, it's very middle of the road for me. And
where is it on our list? I should look at that again.
Yeah, you should look at that. The first time that I saw it, it might even go down from where it
I know. I'm almost wondering if I need to change it.
Because I love Tom Holland as Peter, and I thought
he is amazing. An excellent job. And that's why it offended me, I think, it so mm-hmm. much before, because it was like, but it was so good.
Yeah, you had such a good Peter, and then you give him this movie.
Yeah.
And I also really liked a lot of the interactions he had with his classmates, his friends, and even some of the teachers, and of course, Aunt May, some of those interactions. Like, all the Peter stuff, I thought, was mostely great.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that I have an issue
all
with.
All the just, like, high school stuff
yeah, exactly.
is really good. Like, because that's what it kind of was sold as before mm-hmm. it came out, was, like, a John Hughes movie.
Yeah.
And I liked that part mm-hmm. of it. I actually
and that felt
still
authentic.
Enjoy that. Yes. Yeah.
But then the Spider-Man side of it is just, like, as Matt keeps saying, Iron Lad. It really
yeah.
does feel like
I kept calling him Iron Man Jr., but yeah, Matt has now dubbed him Iron Lad, and I think that works better.
Yeah,
and that
even
is now
from
what we're going to call him.
Yeah, even from the opening sequence being some dude is fucked over by Tony Stark something.
Yeah.
You know, it's Tony Stark something that gets messed up over. So, like, that already puts you in the position of thinking that it's more Tony's story. If you had started with Peter's video blog, which also I feel like should have been a little bit something we saw more of, like that was like a fun thing.
Yeah,
the
that was really. Yeah.
And then he just kind of dropped it.
Yeah,
not that he needs to be. He doesn't need to be vlogging everything.
No,
just a little shaky, but obviously he checks in with himself.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, it's just too. It's too much Tony hanging over the story, but mostly because it makes you feel like Peter can't be a hero on his own.
Yes.
Like, he's not doing anything good for the city.
Yeah.
You know, like, J. Jonah Jameson, in the other movies, you're against him because Peter's doing lots of great stuff. But here, there isn't even anyone who's mad at Spider-Man, you know?
Yeah.
The only one mad at Spider-Man is Tony, even though Spider-Man is causing massive amounts of destruction.
Yes.
Clearly things that are his fault. Like,
it should really be a story. Yeah, somebody should be covering that.
Yeah. Like, even when Liz is like, oh yeah, he beat up those four guys, I totally have a crush on him, even though he beat up those four guys and then caused that gun to be set off, which would not have been set off if he had not been trying to beat them up.
Yes.
And then caused the destruction of both the bank and the deli.
Which, so. Like, he does that twice.
Yeah.
Because he destroys the deli mm-hmm. because of that he, like, isn't paying attention and lets that gun go off. And then the exact same thing happens with the ferry.
Exactly. Like, if he had if he hadn't gone to the ferry and the FBI had handled it, who knows what would have happened, but it wouldn't have been that.
Yeah. I mean, it probably, to be fair, Tony should have just told him, I'm handling it, mm-hmm. as opposed to letting
exactly.
him think
like,
it wasn't
not
important.
Not responding to him
yeah.
is also a mistake on Tony and Happy's part. It makes them look incompetent.
Yes.
Like, just tell him what's up and tell him to stay.
I get that you're busy, but come on.
Right.
Somebody
can
make a phone call.
Happy's clearly not busy. Happy's just
lost. Make Friday make the goddamn
there
phone call, if nothing
there
else,
you
right?
Go. There's a lot of, like, logical fallacies. Like, you have to accept that people are acting in a certain boneheaded way in order to make it believable, you know? Just, like, even the Peter stuff. Like, him ditching everything constantly and people just, like, letting him off the hook for it. Like, yeah. May...
It's hard to believe that nobody would call him on that crap.
Yeah.
Especially, it May knows at the end, and she says she knows he's sneaking out.
Exactly.
Like,
she and then she just let him anything? Do it for yeah. weeks. So it's really weird. It's really weird.
We have it, by the way, your ranking for is 10 out of the 18.
Yeah.
Mine is 13 out of 18.
Oh, okay. So I would probably, if I was gonna-
This is your list.
Yeah. Change the ranking. I might move it. Well, No.
Our rankings, by the way, we are, like, finishing our commentary on it, and those should be posted, I think, on Wednesday the 25th is what we're planning. Mm.
I don't know, man.
It's we'll see if this actually goes out before that.
Tell me if I don't wreck someone out there. It's a challenge.
There you go.
Respond.
So you think you might have to move it?
Yeah, I feel it, but I just don't know who to move up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, because it's definitely not.
I still think it's crazy that you think it's better than the Avengers.
I just don't care about the Avengers, but this made me care less, so I might, you know, I might switch it to 12. Everyone else can move up.
Looking at where it is on mine, it probably is, it's as, basically as low as it can go.
Yeah, because everything else
so,
is yours.
Yeah, I don't think I can move it any lower.
But yeah, but there's so many, like, movies. I feel like, okay, I guess things that we did like about it, obviously we've already said Tom Holland.
He is amazing, and that's what's so hard, because, like, the Spider-Man and what little of Peter Parker, but, the, like, that we saw in Civil War is so good. And we were so excited for this movie, and then it was just, and then the first half, it was like, okay, I'm good. This is fun. I like this. I liked the setting up that he's doing little, he is the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, and he's dealing with the small things. He's not on the grand scale yet. Mm. I don't have a problem with the idea of he has to move up to the Manhattan, like, part of things. That's fine. And so I like that, and that, but it's just, he turns off the training wheels protocol, and it's all just...
Exactly.
I mean, it starts to get bad before that, but that's really when it just goes completely off the rails.
I mean,
it's awful.
Everything, every big save that he does, except for the final one, is something that he caused himself.
Yeah.
Like, so it doesn't even make it, like, I'm not even that excited that, like, when he saves the kids from the Washington Monument, because, like... You're the one that brought the...
Yeah. You could have handed that over to the authorities. Like, maybe you thought, you know, this might not be safe. I don't know. It feels like he should be smarter than that.
Yeah, it does. So, this is it. But yes, I also... Michael Keaton does a great job, like, performance-wise, as the villain when he's Michael Keaton. I think the Vulture thing is dumb, and, like, I was telling you when we were watching, I was like, why does he make a bird suit? Like, what... where did this come from?
Yes.
And why is he, like... How long has he been flying around in the bird suit that no one has noticed?
Yeah, no one ever saw it. He himself says it's been 8 years.
Yeah.
Which I think puts Spider-Man in the future, by the way.
Oh, really?
Because I think, so...
Because 8 years after
Avengers,
New York, right?
Avengers came out in 2012, and I think it's supposed to take place in 2012.
Wow.
And I think they did confirm that, because it doesn't take place long after Civil War. And then Infinity War does not take place that long after it. And then Spider-Man, like, 2, whatever, that is going to be the next movie after Avengers 4. And it's supposed to take place minutes later.
Hmm.
Yeah. So apparently all the movies have been in the future except for Guardians 2, which was in the past. And now I'm told.
That's weird.
Now my brain
confusing.
Hurts. Yeah. We need... Okay, Marvel, this is the one thing that I think people have asked for and we need is, like... Somebody put down and give us a timeline.
Right.
Because, things jump around so much. You know, even they're obviously confusing themselves. Because, like we said in last week, the Guardians 2 one, the Stan Lee cameo doesn't make sense.
Right.
Because it actually takes place before Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Whoops.
The FedEx reference doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
James Gunn was like, I know, I figured that out afterwards. Nobody else caught it. Nobody,
I mean, when you got to keep track of so much, it's easy to lose a couple things.
There's
got
to be somebody whose job it is to be like,
you need
yours
a script,
calendar
you need, like,
on a wall.
The script coordinator or the script, continuity editor kind of person, you know?
Over the entirety of the MCU.
Yeah, exactly. That would make things much smoother, but...
I mean, to an extent, you could accept it, but it is getting confusing when you're like, okay, but 8 years, and then... you start doing math and your brain hurts.
Right. But yes, there is a great supporting cast in, especially on the high school side, in Spider-Man. Like, everyone's got something, you know, interesting or, like, memorable about them, from Flash to Ned.
Yeah, even Flash is, like, he's annoying, but he's a fun annoying
kind of. Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't bother me.
Yeah, and he, yeah, it's kind of like a harmless, like...
He's a different kind of bully, which yeah. I actually kind of like that it's... Yeah, I don't know.
Right, he's not the traditional he's actually not the one that, like, beats you up or, like, gives you, like, the,
yeah,
you know.
And it's obvious to an extent that he's jealous of
yeah,
Peter.
For yeah, sure, for sure.
Which I think is
and other people
dynamic.
Put him in his place, too.
Yes.
Like, in fact, the only part that I was like, how is this happening, was the penis Parker joke at the house. Because I was like, why would Liz allow that to happen
yeah.
at her house? She wouldn't. And she's yeah. not in the scene, but, like, this, like, and why would people be following suit when, like, in every other time when he tries to one-up Peter, people are like, you didn't even answer a question, Flash, or, like, you're just, like, you know. So, I don't know. It seemed kind of weird to me.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's, like, they're at a, like, majorly science school, obviously. Mm-hmm. So, the academic decathlon at any other school, they'd be the nerds that nobody, like, is friends with, but obviously
they're the
popular,
different. Yeah.
At that school.
Right.
I mean, to be fair, my high school wasn't exactly the same, but, and it was a normal high school, but maybe Flash usually runs with, there's one crowd of the popular kids that are just there because their parents got them in because they're rich.
Yeah, I guess.
And it's
yeah.
not about what they know.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I guess every school has
And that's
them.
Why he's trying to prove himself by being a bully, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess. See, you can say a lot of interesting things about Flash. See, the witch
there you go.
That. The supporting cast is really interesting.
Yeah.
And, of course, like, Zendaya is sort of, like, just stunt casting in this movie, but I think that it was, like, people have had enough fun with it that they can actually make her character a real character in the next one.
Yeah. I won't go into the MJ thing again.
Right. We did a lot of that. We did a lot of that.
Yeah.
At this point, it doesn't even matter, right? It's like...
Yeah. Who knows what the heck they're gonna do.
Yeah.
It is interesting, though, because, like, you know, as much as people talk about how successful this movie was, Spider-Man is the top-selling comic book character.
Yeah.
Over all three of the top three for DC combined, and basically all of Marvel. He sells that well, but this movie only did okay.
Right.
It only did, like, what, 300-something in the U.S.? Which is, I mean, it's good. That's not amazing.
Right, it wasn't, like, mine. And
Infinity War is expected to do over 200 in the first weekend.
Like, but when you compare, like, comic book sales with movie sales, it's, like, super different, right? Because, like, a crazy-selling comic book is, like, 100,000 people read this! Holy shit! You know?
Well, I mean, like, merchandise and stuff,
yeah,
too. They make a crap load of money on Spider-Man, which is why we've had three of them since 2002.
I guess it's, like, at this point, like, with the movie audience, like, Avengers, something like that, is gonna be more, like, global appeal.
Yeah.
People are more likely to go see it. Whereas with Spider-Man, it's, like, and plus also the fact that it's a third one, I guess. Like, alright.
Yeah.
I roll.
Everybody's just kind of ready for it to be old.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm glad in some ways, but we've talked about this too, with, like, that we glossed over the origin story, but at the same time that there are key points they should have.
Yeah, there's just moments, like when, you know, he says with everything that May's gone through, but we don't even see a hint from May that she's gone through anything. Like, you don't have to say what she went through if that's the point.
Yeah.
But show in what way May is. Because, like, she's super chill about the fact that Peter has been sneaking out at night,
yeah.
You know? And, like, she says that one thing, like, run in the opposite direction. So you're like, oh, okay, probably not running in the opposite direction. Got Ben killed, I assume, and that makes her sad. But, like, nothing
Good
on
point.
Her face, like, it doesn't really suggest that she's...
I didn't think of that, so... That's probably true.
So, yeah, I think that there was, like, a little bit of a disconnect there. And it might be because there were six writers, you know?
Yes. That is part of the problem, is you had six people. That's never a good thing.
Yeah.
It does, more than a couple is usually very, very bad.
Right.
Especially if, you know, a couple people started, and then two more people had to come on, and two more, and that's what I think happened here, is they just kept having to tweak it.
Right.
And, I mean, I said this after we finished the movie, was, so the people who originally came up with their original story and who did the original script are the people who are now in charge of the Flash movie, and that doesn't really give me much confidence. I'm sorry. I don't think that's gonna go well.
I mean, yeah, like I mentioned briefly, like, Game Night. They directed Game Night. That was, like, enjoyable, but it's different when you're directing something that you didn't necessarily, you know, like, there's no way that they're not gonna shape a lot of the movie, of the Flash movie.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Hopefully the Barry parts will be enjoyable, you know? And then the Flash parts will be more Iron Lad. which is already what his suit looks like, so I guess that works out.
That suit is so bad.
But yeah, we discussed previously that Jennifer Connelly is creepy as
so
Karen.
Creepy. So and creepy. I hate
it's like, uncomfortable.
I tried to sit through it because, you know, the point of introducing that character is he ends up having a lot of internal monologue, and this is a way to, you know, voice it without it being weird. But, you know, he spends a lot of time talking to himself at the beginning.
That's what I was going to say. Spidey always talks to himself. And that's what you could have used the video diary for.
Yeah.
You could have him be, like, vlogging from inside the suit. Because no one else is going to see it, right? So
yeah.
It's not like... So he's like, all right, this is what I'm doing, you know?
It's true.
Or it could be, you know...
You could even have, in the context of this movie, he's doing it all the time because he's recording it and sending it to Tony.
Yeah.
Exactly. That would have worked in the context of
the because if he knows
movie.
That it's, like, the baby monitor, like, you have the baby monitor protocol.
Yeah.
Which also, like, what is the point of that protocol?
Because they never
No one's watching it. Don't make sense.
I know.
Right? Doesn't make sense. Like when Happy doesn't care about all the destruction that's previously been caused by Spider-Man, but then he's like, oh, you're leaving New York? Why are you doing that?
What are you doing? What do you mean you're not within the five boroughs? Like, what is going on? Yeah, it's weird.
Man, the movie's not logical.
No, at all. That's the problem is when, especially when we do it, like, in this context of a rewatch, you're really sitting apart and, like, I didn't take as many notes because we did do this last year. You know, this was the first Marvel film we actually podcasted about.
Right.
So I didn't feel like I needed to take as much notes because we really did kind of already tear it apart. But there were, you know, obviously we had a few things.
There's more things to tear apart.
There's always something.
But yeah, I do, I don't know. It's just like, I feel bad because it's like, I feel like I wanted to like the movie a lot more than I did.
I'm wearing a Spider-Man shirt right now, by the way. and Spider-Man socks. Yeah. I wanted to love this movie. And then...
Yeah. And I feel really bad for Liz. And I feel like Peter just left it alone. She's like, why?
She would have been better off without it.
Yeah.
I get the feeling that's basically kind of Peter's story.
Right. Right. Okay, that's what I was going to say. That is. My issue, one of my many issues with Vulture, is that I feel like they wanted to make him, you know, a sympathetic villain. Like, oh, I've got to protect my family and whatever. But you almost never see him with his family.
Yeah.
He has literally, like, one scene with them.
And literally one of the best scenes... is him threatening to kill a 15-year-old.
Yes. That's like insane. And
sorry,
so
I'm not
going to
sympathize
with
him.
And plus, before that, you see that moment where he kills his minion for just basically being like, well, I'll just rat you out. And then he, like, kills him. And I guess he thought it was going to be the anti-gravity gun, but then he doesn't care, you know? So he obviously is not... Like, we didn't see the descent of a honest, hardworking man into a villain by necessity, which is what he says he is. Mm-hmm. And the way that... it's portrayed in the way that at the end of the movie he doesn't give up Spider-Man, you know?
Yeah.
Suggests that the movie wants you to believe that's what he is.
Yeah.
But you don't see that ever. It's literally like, oh, I've been screwed over. I guess I would become a murdering
because that's literally
now.
What happens at the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay, they just took all my crap. Fine. I'm a bad guy now.
Yeah.
Screw you.
And so I get that they didn't show him with Liz at first because they wanted to keep it a surprise.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not a cool enough twist to be worth sacrificing the actual family man side of him. If you wanted to
if
go
you
that
wanted
route.
To, yeah. And if you wanted to not just make him a murdering,
right.
Ass,
and instead just make him, like, Peter is on the ground level, right, doing what he does, his friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, and then he hears, like, he sees those guns and he wants to know where they came from, and he's like, follow the trail until he reaches the bad guy and has to have the big battle with him, and have no personal connection.
Yeah.
And then it's all about Peter. And not half about Michael Keaton making scary faces.
As entertaining as that can be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, it is funny, like, one of the best scenes is that post-credit scene where he doesn't give up Spider-Man. Because you're like, oh, he's going to protect him because he saved his life and he had helped his daughter, blah, blah, it's great. But, like, it has no actual, like, internal character growth. It's just like, look, he's a good guy.
Kind of, yeah.
Sort of. You know? Because I was, for a second, you are wondering, like, well, he's just going to fucking tell on Peter, like, the second that
he gets a chance. Somebody offers to kill the kid right away.
Yeah.
I mean, he already threatened to kill him.
And he tried very hard to kill him. So it's not like he was following through on that.
By the way, I meant to say, going back to the timeline thing, that is, I think, the main reason of why they've set these movies in the future and it's confusing so much, is...
this idea of they want to keep Peter in high school for so long.
Oh.
Because, so mm-hmm. yeah, that by setting, you know, basically telling us that Civil War and Spider-Man Homecoming happened in the future,
mm-hmm.
this, they're actually happening before, right? It's going to be after the next Homecoming, or the next Spider-Man movie comes out.
Oh, right, that's when it would
have taken place. Yeah, because the next Spider-Man movie will come out in 2019. It should be next July.
When is Infinity War taking place, then?
I think still in 2020?
Yeah,
that's so weird. It's really confusing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just compress the time.
I guess we're not supposed to think about it.
Yeah, yeah, you're not supposed to think about it.
I'm thinking too hard about it, that's the problem.
You're caring too much. You have to stop.
Yes.
But yeah, it is... There is just, like, a lot of stuff that I just wish that they had made him basically a little bit more heroic. Like, show a little bit more of the little stuff.
He never actually, like, wins.
Yeah.
You know, even the end, mm-hmm. the Vulture defeats himself.
Right.
And Peter just is, like...
Watching.
Yeah, he's, like, he tries to stop him from... Mm-hmm. Because the thing's gonna explode. And then he saves him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not him who ends that fight.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. So it is weird. And it's... Yeah, because there isn't... If there was a learning curve... to something. Like, yes, the final fight was, like, his best one, but but it's not in a satisfying way.
I mean, I guess your learning curve, he grew, is supposed to be, he rejects the place in the Avengers. That is it.
Yes, that is it. But it just seems, because it's still, like, the scene before that, he literally ditched the decathlon people again to go to the Avengers.
He's like, oh my god, they called me. Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't, I don't, or at least I didn't see the growth that would make me believe he'd want to leave it behind, you know? Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if it was supposed to be, but considering the main thing we've seen in the trailers for Infinity War is him in that spaceship, and he makes the comment about, I'm going to stay on the ground for a little while, mm-hmm. I was like, haha. And he already has the Iron Spider suit at that point.
Yeah.
So... Obviously, this didn't last very long.
He didn't stay on the ground very long at all.
Unless we're going to be saying that it's jumped 3 years and he's 18 now, which I don't think that's weird. That's not what they're trying to do.
I don't.
It's supposed to be he's like 16 right. still. He's a kid. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, at least they cast somebody who looks like a kid. Tom Holland looks so
he
young.
He does. He does have
I mean, he is young anyway. But
yeah, he's
21,
but he has baby face.
Yeah,
sure.
He's really, really young.
And I think I said this before, but it does really bother me that I feel like you don't see the effects that these weapons are having on anyone.
Mm.
You just see, like, a couple criminals using them, mm-hmm. and then the devastation, you know, because they try to keep it light, that Spider-Man accidentally causes with them.
Yes.
But you don't actually see what he's fighting to prevent. It just seems like he wants to get that for himself because he wants to do something cool.
Yeah.
And not like he's actually...
He wants to impress Tony.
Yeah.
So that he can be a true Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
I just
had a couple, like, random thoughts that I wrote down that, because most of, like I said, most of the stuff we said last mm-hmm. time, and there weren't, like, a lot of, like, cute little moments that I realized afterwards. I just had the funny ones that we talked about, that I was impressed by the fact that Tom Holland is such a great, as an Englishman, does such a great job doing an American accent than speaking Spanish.
Yes!
Because he doesn't sound like an Englishman speaking Spanish.
He sounds like an American speaking Spanish.
That was good. That was actually impressive. I don't know why, but I liked that.
I do... That randomly reminds me that I do really love the moment MJ is like, you know, I don't want to celebrate something built by slaves. And Martin Starr was like, no, it wasn't.
He's like, no, I bet it wasn't.
And Secret Guard's like, yeah,
maybe, probably. Yeah, probably. Yeah, it was.
That was cute. And I do like, even though, like, again, it's like, there's not really, they don't give you much for it. But when she's like, my friends are up there, because you're like, oh, she thinks they're her friends.
Aw, she actually cares.
Yeah, exactly. That's about it. That's about it.
The one thing I did, like, notice, I'm hoping I don't remember noticing this before, so I don't think we said anything, is how did we get from Civil War of that really old movie, The Empire Strikes Back, to the next time, okay, they're going to build the Death Star.
Right.
And, like, it's like, oh, they know what that, like, you wouldn't be like, I'm buying the Death Star Lego if you're going to be like, that really old movie.
Maybe. Because of Civil War, he was so excited about what he experienced that then he got Star Wars into it. And they bought themselves a Lego set. And that's why they're only just now
that's
building
a really
that
freaking
Death Star.
Expensive Lego set, too, by the way.
Right?
That's a.
He is like a massive fanboy that way.
It's a several hundred dollar
right. Yeah. But yeah, no, you're right, though, that it doesn't. It's like, like, wait a minute. I guess.
I think he has, like, action figures in his bedroom, too. Right. And you're like, wait, what? You just called it a really old movie.
A really old movie that he loves. It's just some random movie.
It feels like a random movie you saw in the background as opposed to.
Yeah. That is funny. That's weird. That's fair.
Thor's magic belt.
Yes.
Is referenced. I can't remember what it's called. And Happy Head has a hard time saying it, too. Mm-hmm. There has been speculation that he has it in Infinity War. Because I think his hot toy has it.
Oh, very cool.
I don't know what.
So now we'll see how it is
about
gets
this belt, but apparently either Tony made it or it's been sitting around. Well, now it's on a beach.
Yeah. He does, like, he called it Thor's magic belt, so I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess it did somehow belong to Thor already.
Thor just left it there when, in passing.
Tony was borrowing it for a costume party. I don't know.
But I think the best part of watching these two films back to back was your realization.
Oh, yes. Yes. Branching into Thor Ragnarok. But yes. So, Tony tells Peter that if he's nothing without the Spider-Man suit, then he shouldn't be wearing it. He shouldn't be using it.
Yep.
And that is basically what Thor's father tells him.
Odin. Yeah.
Yeah, Odin tells him when he says, what are you, Thor, the god of hammers?
Yeah.
Because like, Thor's like, I can't do it without my hammer. But Thor is obviously a much better version, a better exploration.
It is a very much better exploration of that theme and that idea than
of what is a hero without his,
without his tools.
Yeah, without his tools. Mm-hmm. Like, what makes you a hero? Is it your hammer or your suit? And like, yes, we do see that Peter in the final battle that he does the best in. Mm-hmm. He's using his ugly normal suit. So yes, you get like you can see that, but because again, like we said, nothing is really a victory.
Yes.
It's not the same. Whereas Thor definitely has a character arc that goes from him feeling helpless and actually acting helpless at first, right? Yes. Getting electrocuted at every step. Like he can't even use the lightning that is at his fingertips.
Making only sparkles.
Exactly. To being able to sort of not resume, but sum up that power, I guess, or, like, call that power up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit, I will say it's a little bit on the nose, that they're, like, visions of his father, like, every time that he's...
Yes. It is a little, hitting you over the head with a hammer. But, yeah. But still, it explores that a lot better. But it's funny, because you don't realize that they really are exploring the exact same thing until you're like, wait a minute, we just watched this story.
Right.
Only this is doing it better. Yeah.
Exactly. But I think Thor is pretty high on both our lists.
Yeah. Let me see where we put it. I think it's higher on yours than it is on mine.
Yeah, I think I end up putting it in the top five.
Yours is number five, and for me, it's actually number nine.
Oh. See, your list is weird because you like so many of them. That it's like...
Well, and I mean, but I look at like... Okay, so you have it number five, and your top five are Black Panther, Iron Man, Winter Soldier, Guardians 1, and then Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is the Winter Soldier, Black Panther, Guardians 1, Civil War, The Avengers, The First Avenger, Iron Man, Guardians 1, 2, and then Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
And I think, honestly, to be the main reason I don't put it higher, even though I still, I mean, it's a really good movie.
Yeah.
Is just because at this point I'm so detached from Thor that even though this movie does a much better job of making me care, because like I actually said this when we were watching it, there was a point where before this movie, if you had asked me which Avenger I wanted to, like, if I had to pick one to die, it would have been him, because I honestly didn't enjoy any of his movies and I cared the least about him.
Right.
Even less than like Hawkeye, who hasn't been built up at all, right? And I'm not a big Hulk fan either. Mm-hmm. But I probably would have said Thor, but now I would not put him at the bottom just because, okay, now I'm interested to see.
Right.
Now you've given, especially, this was Chris Hemsworth, like, he wasn't given a chance to really, he's got really great comedy chops.
Mm, yes.
And he wasn't really given a chance to show those before, right. And that's what this movie is,
for sure.
Like, gives him a lot of really good movements, and now I'm actually interested to see more. Plus, it surrounded him with people, like, I never really cared about Loki before. Mm-hmm. I actually thought he was kind of fun.
Yeah,
this
is for sure the first movie where I cared about him.
Yes.
Before that, I was like, what do people see in this character?
I never really, really...
Yeah.
Like,
and now,
I thought he was kind of compelling as a villain, but if he had died, I would... Whatever.
Right.
And I never understood why Thor would keep trusting him. It was like... Argh!
Yeah, and seeing him, like, still love him, but not trust him actively...
Yes.
...makes it much better,
Yes, it's much more understandable.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I mean, I love Valkyrie, and I cannot wait to see more of her.
Yeah.
Even though we don't get a lot of Heimdall, I think,
but everything he does is so badass.
He's much better.
Yeah.
He's much more interesting in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Hela is a much, you know, she's a great villain.
Yeah, she's a great villain, for sure.
And yeah, it's just,
even though her presence caused me to have many questions about Asgardians and how they work.
Because we still cannot get over the fact that we're like, but how did nobody remember her?
Nobody remembered her, but Asgardians seem to live forever. But
there's some old person in the background who's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, her again. Be like, I didn't tell my kids precisely because I didn't want anyone, like...
Yeah, we wanted to forget that chapter of our lives. I guess that's how you have so many, like, white supremacists in the
right, US. I mean, right, I guess clearly Asgard is very tiny. It can all fit on a ship. So, that
if enough people actively decide to rewrite their history...
That's like, I don't know if you saw this person, and this happens a lot, but like, someone in San Antonio, Texas, they posted, like, a test or, like, a, you know, assignment from the teacher that was, like, the positive and negative aspects of slavery. Like, a fair and balanced view. And then she's like, what the fuck? Who is teaching my child that there are any positive aspects?
There is nothing positive about slavery. That word,
And then I remember, because I'm also from Texas, so in my high school U.S. history class, we had to do an essay. Like, I remember, like, one of the final exam essays was, like, 5 reasons for the Civil War, and slavery couldn't be one of them. And I was like, but
that's literally the number one reason. Like,
I guess it could happen. This is like Asgard is a study in like isolationist.
A prime one too is okay. So we call the Dark Ages, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing dark about that period.
Right.
There was actually a lot of growth, and there's a lot of prosperity. A lot of crap actually happened, but the Victorians didn't think it was as compelling as the Roman period, and then, you know, didn't think it was as cool as the medieval period,
so,
they just call it the Dark Ages, and that is literally the only reason we call it that.
Wow. See? So yeah, there you go. That's what happened with Hela.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. It is like a...
But who is her mother? Is the other question we still have.
Like, was Frigga cool with this? Like, what was she doing?
Is she the mom, or is there another... no one ever says it's only about Odin.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody cares about Frigga. See, no one... The mother... The woman is important, too.
Yes. God. She matters.
Yes. One thing I also really like about Ragnarok, as opposed to... And I don't know if... I can't rightly say this is true, because it's like I've sleptwalked. Uh-huh. Or slept watched the other Thor movies in comparison, but
it
feels so much more heroic in this movie, like actively, and maybe it's because it's Asgard that he's having to save, but no, because he still has to save Asgard in Dark World.
Yeah.
So whatever, but it just really feels like he's learning that lesson that like he really does care about his people, right? He wants to be a king to his people, where before he's like running from that duty. He doesn't really care about that.
Yeah.
And this is the first time
As soon as he actually grows up in the first Thor, he doesn't want to be a king anymore.
Yeah.
He's like, oh wait, I realize now this is not cool.
Yeah. But now he's like gonna do it precisely because it's what's best for the people.
Yes.
So I really like that.
And they're gonna end up in Norway, which is gonna really weird the Norwegians out, because the Asgardians are much more diverse than the Norwegians are. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're all gonna die. 20 minutes into
they
the
better
next
not
movie.
Fucking like that's the only my only concern is that now you freak me out that they're gonna die, and I'm like, Thor Ragnarok will be complete waste then. What was the point of this movie?
It was just a movie to set up and make you care about
exactly
that when they die in those first 20 minutes. It's like, haha, remember those first two movies where you were like, whatever, now you care, huh?
Yeah, but you know what, no, Norse mythology has to become a thing, right?
Yeah,
so they have to land on Earth.
But they're gonna land in the past because they already created
that's
that
true.
Mythology.
That's true.
Can they go back?
But I mean, I guess I feel like in this world they wouldn't have, right? In this world it would be no, because
well,
what's his face
no,
knows
know
about
are.
It. Yeah, that's how. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind. So they're gonna land in the past. It's fine.
They've already been coming. It's just not all of them have been coming.
Yeah, I guess
it's just the gods.
It's just the gods. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which. Anyway, that's fine.
They don't all get to use the Bifrost.
Right. What makes them gods? Because Loki is also a god, but he's not even Asgardian. More questions.
Yep. None of it makes sense.
Anyway.
You just can't think about it.
I really do think that, like, Taika Waititi was such a good choice for this movie, and I don't know who wrote this movie. I don't know.
He
wrote it? Okay. So, that explains everything. There's a lot of movies where there's too much going on. and this one is probably one of them, but it doesn't, like, feel that way, you know? Mm-hmm. Everything does somehow connect to the next thing, even though you've got, like, a 30-minute Planet Hulk interlude. And then the whole thing with, like, Doctor Strange and, like, going to see your dad. And then at the same time, Hela's, like, there's some parts where, like, forget that Hela is also doing stuff. I'm like, oh, right, that's why we have to leave this planet, because we have to stop Hela. I forget. But everything flows together nicely.
Oh, no, I'm completely wrong. It's actually three other people that wrote it.
Oh, okay. Oops.
Yeah, Christopher Yost, Craig Kyle, and Eric Pearson.
I don't know those people, but Taika did great with what they did. So,
yeah.
I mean, and maybe that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe the script alone would have been a lot more disjointed.
Yeah. Because
it is too many things.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, I feel like a lot of that, like...
His vision was...
Yeah, that vision and that tone that he manages to hit every single time. It's the kind of, like, humor that I think Spider-Man Homecoming is going for a lot of the time, but it really works in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Just, like, punctuating everything. Nothing is ever too emotional or too heavy because it's punctuated by a joke. But those jokes are always, they don't feel out of place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I almost, like, I can't help but wonder how different it would have been if, like, the first Thor made me feel more like this movie.
Yeah.
Like, where, how would I rank all of it?
Thor would be the greatest trilogy.
And, you know, we're doing our rankings, which I haven't actually finished yet, of,
yeah.
like, our top 10 MCU characters.
Oh, yes.
Film only.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm like, he's not going to be in mine.
Right.
But would he have been? Maybe?
Mm-hmm.
This Thor might have been. It's too late now.
Yeah.
I just, you know.
Yeah, it is too late.
I would like to see more, but at the same time, you know, if Hemsworth wants to move on and if he ends up being one that they kill off, it's not going to.
Yeah.
I'm only going to care about the peripheral right. characters around him at this point.
Even though, you know, like we said, you know, Jane, it's sort of like take or leave, but... One, I do wish that they would have, instead of being like, oh, I'm sorry, Jane dumped you, because he could have just said, like, someone says, like, aren't you going to see Jane? And be like, no, I have to, you know, find my dad. And then he's like, well, I have to take my people. You're like, whatever.
But they wanted to make it okay for him to flirt with Valkyrie.
Yeah, flirt with Valkyrie. Like, yeah, but, like, everything that they did could have happened even with him not saying that he broke up with Jane, you know?
Because, yeah.
It's not like they really built up anything there, other than just, like, they have sexual tension.
Yeah.
But... I feel like she also has tension with Hulk. Just
it's true.
So I would,
which is weird.
Yeah, I was like, oh,
not so much with Banner, but,
right?
I mean, even though
but the whole little like, oh, you look familiar to me, and then and then he's like, you're so strong and beautiful.
And then her face when she realizes he's the Hulk, and she's like,
yeah.
It's just,
but yeah,
she's in shock.
Yeah,
it's cute.
Yeah, it is. It is. See, whatever. It's fine. I'm just clearly, I just don't want.
This is the part though that gets me of like going into Infinity War. Is, okay, but there's all these people, and they were all standing on that ship, and it's like, do we even know if, like, Taika Waititi or Tessa Thompson are in the movie?
Right.
Like, do they just, like, is Idris Elba in the movie? If he ends up being the one who has a Soul Stone,
that would be a surprise. I mean, he better be in the movie,
He would be in the movie.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they kind of have to be, you'd think, but I have no idea.
I mean, the only thing that I could imagine is, like, you know, like, the final shot, after, or not final shot, but you know, the extra cutscene.
Yes.
Where it's just them, you don't see the rest.
Yeah.
So then it could be like, get them out of here, do whatever, I'll go do this, you know? And then we only follow Thor, and then...
Because there's already a lot of characters, and it would be understandable.
And then you, like, have the, like, understanding that Loki died saving everyone else, but you don't actually see them, you know?
Yeah.
That would be like... Yeah. But I feel like you'd still have to have at least one character to tell Thor that Loki's dead.
Yeah.
So.
He somehow has to know that it,
That
it really happened this time because he's witnessed it and it still didn't happen those times.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. It'll be interesting. It is funny though, because this definitely is the biggest lead up, I think, to Infinity War, just because it's literally right there. Like, that's where it's going to start.
But exactly where the movie starts.
And yet.
That is Thanos' shit.
And yet it creates so many questions.
So many questions.
And like, if Loki is dead, Thor's going to be, you know.
Because you might actually care now.
Yeah, this is the best his relationship has been with Loki.
Yes.
So, it'll be depressing.
Yeah, this will be the moment that
it's and like, right after his dad died, too.
Oh my god, I just thought of this.
Yeah.
Okay, so, they're finally in a good place. They're happy together. Mm-hmm. Loki's gonna die.
Oh! Bucky and Steve are finally happy together. Steve's gonna die. Fuck this movie, man.
It totally is, right? That's gonna happen. No, yeah, you're
Tony and Pepper are back together and happy, and Tony's gonna die. This is shit.
That's shit. I don't like this.
I don't want to see this movie now.
This movie's garbage.
Making you feel...
Throw the whole franchise away.
God dang it. I see the emotional manipulation. I see what you've done to me.
Aww.
Yeah, because now they're going to make me care if Loki dies.
Yeah.
Or if Tony dies.
Right.
And obviously I'm going to be very, very upset if Steve dies.
It's all right. They'll defy expectations.
I hope they surprise me. I hope, you know. Yeah, that's. We'll just move into Infinity War now.
I think we're done, right? And yeah, right?
Just a quick, like... Because our next...
That's the thing. It's because, like, Ragnarok is good, so there's nothing to say about it!
I know, right? There really wasn't a lot to say. We said it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's hard... When the movie's good, it's harder to
pick
it apart.
Yeah.
You're like, well, I mean, I'm sure I could find things, but whatever, I liked it. It was fun. But,
Oh, you did... Oh, one thing that you did mention that originally the Valkyrie, her vision were the girl, that one other Valkyrie girl.
Oh, yes.
Like, so, pushes her out.
Yeah. You have the moment with Valkyrie where she says, I only survived because, and then she doesn't finish the sentence. And she's telling that to Thor, right? Mm-hmm. And then Loki makes her see the memory, and there's the moment where one of the other Valkyrie gets in front of her and takes a sword that's obviously meant for her. And yeah, Tessa Thompson has said that there was actually a scene where that it was intimated that was her lover. Mm. She is in the comic books. Bisexual.
Right.
So they are supposed to be. So she was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's nothing to say she's not now. Right. But they just removed
the yeah. Which is a shame. But yeah, I feel like just given how obviously she'd be shaken up because everyone else died and she witnessed it anyway. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she says, I only survived because and cuts herself off shows that specifically.
Yeah. I don't even know if it was specifically about that. I think there was a scene where basically you see a woman leaving her room. And that's when you realize that she is. And so then you could, from that...
Extrapolate that
this person was her lover. But yeah, they just decided to cut it for whatever reason. I don't even think it's on the Blu-ray.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess it was probably like a short beat, but still. Anyway.
Sad times. But yeah, anyway, Infinity War. So that will be our next recording is next week.
Yeah.
We will all have seen it. That is this. It's this week.
It's this week.
It's happening.
It's happening.
I'm not ready. How many boxes of tissue? That was going to be the poll I was going to put on Twitter.
Oh, that's right.
How many boxes of tissue are you taking with you? I will need 5.
You'll need 5? Oh, God.
No, I don't know.
I hope it's not.
Usually the way I am the first time, I'm kind of just so numb that it doesn't, like, it's the second viewing that gets me. Okay. I think I said that after Guardians.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, with Yondu. It's the same kind of thing as the second viewing is usually when I absolutely fall apart.
Aww.
So, that will be the first viewing I see it with Matt, because I'm actually seeing it at the previous screening.
That's right. And when is that for you? That's Tuesday, or?
Tuesday, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, good luck with that.
I'm afraid.
I'm preparing myself for, like, the Notebook level reactions. Like, I remember when I went to go see the Notebook in theaters, and it was... I was, like, crying so much that I started choking on my popcorn.
Oh my gosh!
It was very loud. And then, like, the security person came and was like, what is happening? And they're like, she's choking on her popcorn. She's not trying to make noise.
Oh, she's not trying. Yeah. She just can't breathe.
Yeah. So I won't eat popcorn.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I think everyone's going to die in this, but I think there's a chance that some people will be permanently dead
in
this movie.
But if they all, like, do you think it's going to end with, like, everyone dies? And then you have to see the next movie to see what happens? Or, because I feel like that would be kind of, like, a weird ending. Like, I get it if Avengers forced me out really soon, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. Obviously, not everyone can, because, Ant-Man and the Wasp, but they're not in the... I don't think they're really... Well, yeah, I don't think they're in Infinity
War.
Yeah, but
then, is the timeline going to be... So, like, will they mention it?
I'm going to guess that it's... Well, see, the hard part is you want... So, in the comics, for those of you who have read them, there's... Not that I have either, but I know enough about them. But there is a moment where, after Thanos gets all of the Infinity Gems, he literally just snaps his fingers, and half the universe is wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly feel like that's one of those moments that they're gonna want to try and capture in the movie.
Yeah.
And that would be a very good end of the movie. But you can also have post-credit scenes that intimate that something more happens.
Would it
afterwards.
Be like Doctor Strange didn't die and he's gonna reverse it or do whatever?
You've got to, I mean, some people have to. So there's, I'm going to talk about a spoiler casting announcement that came out this week. So there was a spoiler casting that they've cast, Cassie
Lang.
Lang, Scott Lang, Ant-Man's daughter, as a teenager for Avengers 4.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's leading a lot of people to believe that there's a jump to the future, mm-hmm. which is entirely possible. There's also pictures that show for Avengers 4. I think it's Tony, Ant-Man, and Banner?
Mm-hmm.
I love how I, like, go between names. Like, some of them I use the real name.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, we're using our made-up name.
Yeah. And Steve. But Steve is in his Avengers, the first The Avengers mm-hmm. movie costume.
Yeah.
Which leads people to believe that he is a Steve brought out of time, which is why there's the whole theory that he is really going to die mm-hmm. in Infinity War, and they have to bring... for some reason, Steve back from the past to fight with them.
Yeah.
I don't know why. So it would make sense, but what Matt thought, and I actually kind of like this better, and I actually kind of hope this is what happens, mm-hmm. is that Infinity War, they lose. They lose. Most of them are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Thanos is what, I don't know, like ruling the universe or something? I don't know what. But there's just enough of them left that, yes, something happens, and they literally, like, it's like 5 years in the future, mm-hmm. which would make sense. They'd time jump, except that, no, maybe that doesn't work because we just talked about Spider-Man. I don't know. But they could go back in the past again.
Right.
Because
that would just be like, so they would say something to make it clear that it's before Infinity.
Yes. What you could do is then have, okay, this like ragtag group of the Avengers have been fighting, but they're just like beat to shit.
Mm-hmm.
And either Scarlet Witch is one of them, and she does something because she can manipulate reality.
Yeah.
Or Stephen Strange still has the time gem, or somehow they get it back, which doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. But, and he ends up being able to manipulate reality. Right. But then why would you go into the... I think it makes more sense for... if that's what you do, where you live, and then you have to reset, basically, mm-hmm. it would make more sense for it to be Scarlet Witch, and it takes a while to figure out
I feel like it would be
that.
Scarlet Witch, yeah.
I would actually, like, I really like the idea of that being it, because that is part of her story.
Yeah, and they did say that so Vision and Scarlet Witch's romance is somehow going to be, like, at the heart of Infinity War or whatever the fuck, so maybe that'll affect her.
There you go.
Changing it in Avengers.
Because, I mean, as much as the easy way to do it is to just have it be about the time gem, mm-hmm. because we've already seen that it can reset, you know, in whatever way, it would be, I think, a more powerful story that it's let her keep developing her power.
I agree with that.
So... I don't know. I don't know what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, especially because she doesn't have her own movies with which to do something like that.
Yeah.
Whereas Doctor Strange does. So.
And then the big question is, will she bring her brother back?
Right.
We don't know anything about him coming back, but why would she re-manipulate reality?
Without him.
But then she... some people have to stay dead. You have to... like,
she'll say some bullshit about fixed points.
Yeah. Well, and that's, but, like, one of the best storytelling things I ever saw was, so, Farscape is one of my all-time favorite shows. Mm-hmm. It's my mom's favorite show. It's Matt's favorite show. We love it. And there is, the like, miniseries that they did after the series was canceled, The Peacekeeper Wars, there is a character death in it. Mm-hmm. One of the major characters dies, and that's it. He's gone. And we went to one of the conventions, and I know somebody asked, like, why did you kill that character? And Rakhni Ossobanon, who was the creator of the show, was there had to be a price paid.
Right.
It doesn't count. It doesn't matter. You aren't invested if everyone gets away scot-free all the time. And that is one of the big complaints people have about the Marvel Universe, especially with like characters like Loki coming back all the freaking time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a price paid.
Yeah.
Somebody has to die mm-hmm. and stay dead. And so that's why there has to be, and it, that, and I think that's why it actually works. As much as I would have liked to have seen more with Quicksilver,
right?
It works that they killed him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, okay, somebody paid the price, and yes, it's more realistic mm-hmm. that way. So I think I would rather, maybe she's tempted to, but she realizes she can't.
Yeah.
But you can also do that. She's obviously become very close to Steve.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of like a father figure to her.
Yeah.
It looks like, or an older brother. And so it would make sense. I mean, it would make sense if, yeah, if Vision dies because the mind gem is taken from him. She can't save him. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, somebody has to. It would make sense, you know. But then that's, again, the theory that she's the one in control of it.
Right.
I don't know.
Which, I mean, I like. I hope that that's the case.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be fine if it ends up being the time gem and it's Doctor Strange. But I think it would be much more interesting if it's her. Mm-hmm. Whatever happens, there's some kind of time fuckery, and so it's why I keep assuming everyone, or almost everyone, is going to die. Mm-hmm. And then there's either a reset, or she can bring back some people, or some people come back, but not all of them.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it would end with everyone dying, everyone, and then either the last scene or the credits is whoever is going to fix the problem. You see that they're still alive, and then they say something that implies to you that they're going to fix the problem. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's that, and then...
Yeah, I still think that one thing that would be really, really good to have happen, because Captain Marvel comes out between the two Avengers films, mm-hmm. is that she's been in space, and the Guardians somehow know about her. And they're the ones who are like, we know somebody, we're going to go and get them. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, you have a tease to that's how, you know, or Nick Fury shows up and is like, I think I know somebody, or
right.
Thor somehow knows. I don't know, Valkyrie could.
Yeah.
Who knows?
No, I'm just kidding. But yeah.
But yeah, that I honestly would be surprised if there isn't a post-credit scene that somehow relates to Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. I really would be surprised. So. But we'll see. And then we'll talk about it next week.
Yes,
I'm convinced is going to be a very, very long podcast.
Yeah, right? Oh, God.
That's
God.
Accurate.
That's and accurate.
Then tonight, which, you know, but now will be 2 days later, Westworld's back.
Yes.
And then people should be watching Killing Eve. I'm just going to say this because that show is
so
freaking,
good.
Freaking mm-hmm. amazing.
Which means I have to watch it tonight when I get home.
I know. I'm really excited. Like, we waited to watch the first two episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And then we sat down and watched that, and I was like, holy crap, this
you
is
You want
amazing.
The third one now.
I have the third one, but Max doesn't want to watch with the screeners. I think I have five episodes.
You have five screeners?
Yeah. But then you have to wait.
Yeah.
Unless they're giving us more, which I haven't looked to see if they have uploaded anymore. They gave five out before the first episode even aired.
Oh, I didn't realize. Oh. All right. Yeah. Well, there you go.
I should look. Mm-hmm. Anyway. All right. So, you know, we'll be back with tissues and tears and lots of...
Yeah.
We're just going to be upset. I think next week
probably.
We're just going to be a wreck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So be prepared for that. All right. And that concludes our final MCU recap. Woo! I'm so happy.
Yay.
We can talk about other things now. Well, except for Infinity War.
If you want other things.
Yeah. If you want other things, though, they're always on withanaccent.com. And then there's With an Accent TV, which is the YouTube. Mm-hmm. And at With an Accent is the Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, Instagram. And at Pop All Our Cart Pod. Thank you for joining us again, and we'll see you next week with our tears.
Bye.
Bye.